I'm so excited!
We're doing a sequel. We're back by popular demand. Come on, everybody, strike up the band.
Negative possibilities are multiplying as we speak.
I'm sure I made a payment if it's about that bounce check.
I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Where's the Damn Sequel, the podcast about great films that never got sequels because the widows of the writer whose book inspired the film actually told the studio that she would sue if they ever tried to adapt another one of his books into a live-action film and prevented them from doing so legally, so there can never be a sequel, unfortunately. Today we're talking, of course, about Beau Welch's 2003 masterpiece, The Cat in the Hat. I'm joined by a very popular former guest on the show. Rob Cleaver Redmond is here.
Very popular. Well, hello.
And a far less popular former guest on the show, Brendan Fernando Kelly Palenque.
Don't remind me of the Click episode.
Got 4 downloads. Okay. I think this is the first time that 3 people with double barrel names have ever recorded a podcast together.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we should celebrate that. I think it's actually pretty cool.
This should be the key cast now.
Exactly. You got to have all those double barrels.
Just the longest title sequence ever.
Oh, God. No, honestly, the title of the episode, like, The Cat in the Hat with Rob Cleaver Redmond and Brendan Fernando Kelly Palenque. That's not going to fit in any metadata boxes.
Just put our initials.
Just
people
put
know.
Brendan FKP. It'll be good enough.
I'll put Brendan Palenque and Rob.
No, you need the double barrel.
Just Brendan .. Palenque.
Yeah, we'll say Brendan and Rob. You'd be a duo. You'd be like Morecambe and Wise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't remind me of them.
Why? You have Morecambe and Wise trauma?
Yeah. My dad made me watch those stupid Egyptian skits and I hate them.
They're not good. They're not funny people.
No.
Brendan was just saying before recording that he doesn't like The Cat in the Hat. Brendan, what age were you when you last watched The Cat in the Hat? If you say under 13, your opinion is invalid because everyone under 13 is frightened by The Cat in the Hat. That's the point.
I was not frightened. I will say that. I enjoyed it the first time I watched it. And then I think the second or third time, I was just like, this is disgusting. Like,
it's a film by and for perverts. And it is beautiful. It's magnificent.
That's it. Yeah, it's just too vulgar for me.
It is the exact right amount of vulgar. You know, I'm not like a person who seeks out vulgarity in my life. I'm not like into extreme shock comedy, really. Mm. But The Cat in the Hat is on the level of sort of innuendo that I find to be just truly delightful. And also, when I was a child, I liked this film for other reasons. I thought it was funny and goofy, and I liked the music, and I liked the sets and the amazing production design. And I didn't think that it was inappropriate, or I didn't ever ask my parents what any of the sex jokes meant. So I think it is suitable for children on another level to how adults can enjoy it.
I loved it as a kid. I seen it, and I'm pretty sure I went to cinema to see it.
I didn't, but I bought the DVD, and I was like, this is my shit.
What year did it come out?
Came out 2003. November of 2003. A really good time, because that was the same. That was like within 2 years you had like 10 of the best children's films ever made came out, you know. But The Cat in the Hat is a real special one. I've probably seen it more times than anything else.
Oh no, I've seen it like I watched it like
twice a year probably.
I watched it like even before you asked me to come to this, like I actually had watched it about 2 months ago.
It's so easy to watch because it's like 74 minutes long.
Yeah, and it's like perfect. And the runtime flies.
The runtime flies and it's so short. And also sometimes if I'm feeling like a little extra Cat in the Hat, I watched the deleted scenes.
Oh, I haven't actually seen
the deleted scenes. The deleted scenes are almost better than the real scenes.
No way!
The deleted scenes are unbelievable. For example, there's one deleted scene where it shows multiple alternate versions of Thing 1 and Thing 2 stopping traffic to stop Larry from getting back to the house.
No way!
And some of them are how they flood the streets and they cause all this crazy anarchy. And no, it's brilliant. The deleted scenes are really good and they're finished. All the visual effects are completed. Like, and there's one where Alec Baldwin goes to buy a TV. And there's like a whole extended thing where the cat is...
After
it gets repossessed, he goes to the TV shop and there's a whole thing in the TV shop where the kids and the cat are hiding from him in the TV shop and the cat's tail gets trapped. And it's all really, really good.
No
so
way,
you should watch those deleted scenes.
Yeah,
they're an important part of the experience. But, Brendan, your
opinion. The only good thing that came out of this was Dr. Seuss's wife being like, no, I actually would rather you never do this
again.
Go
away, Brendan. No one likes
she is 100% correct.
But because of that, we have films now like The Lorax and the animated Grinch film, which are just...
They're just amazing. They're just exceptional.
Okay, well, I know.
They're not. I feel like Lorax is the exact same type of quality as Cat in the Hat.
That's just delusional, Brandon.
Like, Horton Hears a Who and Lorax and all. Horton Hears a Who is okay.
Horton Hears a Who is okay.
I feel they're so sterile compared to Cat in the Hat.
I couldn't watch The Grinch if you paid me to. It looks so sterile.
I watched, I think, about the first 10 minutes and I just had to turn it off. I think I straight away watched the original Grinch afterwards and I was just very
pleased. Need to have absurdism. The Grinch 2018 is just, like, so rigid and, like, sticks to the source material and has the rhyming. And that's fine. And I love Dr. Seuss. Mm. But The Cat in the Hat and The Grinch to a lesser extent. But I do like The Grinch as well. The Cat in the Hat and The Grinch are just crazy. They're mental. Like, they're mental. And that's what you need. Dr. Seuss doesn't need to be literally translated to cinema screens as Dr. Seuss is on the page. Mm. I think the best way to adapt Dr. Seuss is to do a sort of a different kind of cinematic craziness, which is what this film does so well.
I think the best way is to not adapt him, because Dr. Seuss is terrible. And I stand by that. That is another hot take I'm coming out there with. I think that's another reason I dislike Cat in the Hat. It's just, I don't understand the appeal
Dr. Seuss
of Dr.
Seuss.
Dr. Seuss
is terrible, says Brendan.
Yes.
The rhyming. We've got some mad hot takes. We're only like 10 minutes
in. The rhyming, everything about it, the disgusting character designs, it just, oh, it
the
irritates me.
The disgusting character designs.
Okay.
Who I hurt think you're... you? You have a doctor when you were younger called Seuss and you really dislike them. You know he's not a real doctor, yes.
That's actually such a mad hot take. I've never heard that.
This is so weird.
I don't understand the appeal at all. I just find him so deeply disturbing. I find rhyming incredibly annoying. Like, even as a child, I was just like, this is just painful. It just makes every sentence, like...
You're no fun.
Ugh. I don't understand the purpose.
Today we record the podcast in rhyme. Brendan will be here the whole time. So is Rob. He's sitting there.
Lovely comfy chair.
On a lovely comfy gray chair. Brendan is soon going to be ejected because Dr. Seuss, he rejected.
Bye, Brendan.
Bye, Brendan.
That's some great word order.
Obviously from last time maybe on the show with the Scooby-Doo movie and stuff.
Yes.
Like, my favorite subgenre film is really surreal children's films, like Spy Kids 3, Nacho Libre, and
Nacho Libre. You think Nacho Libre is a children's film? Is it? I haven't seen it. Is it really
Yes,
PG?
It's definitely a children's film. Okay. And it's very there's nothing really in it that would be, like, I don't know, subversive, but I think it's a masterpiece. Now, sadly, it's kind of unintentionally racist, but it's fucking... it's basically like if... Okay, to me, Nacho Libre and Cat in the Hat, I find kind of similar. Okay. But not in, like... Just in the fact that it's, like, the surreal world Nacho Libre is a bit darker.
The suspension of disbelief in this film is extraordinary.
Oh, like, it's incredible.
You have to accept the rhyming, and you have to accept the green houses and all the...
The sets are
unbelievable, though, and they're real. It's all built. Like,
that's amazing.
The greenhouses, the Humber Flube offices, the little village square. Like, it looks incredible. The sense of place in this film is, like, ridiculously good.
How could you possibly have a sequel for this, though?
We'll get to that when we finish talking about the film.
Sorry. I apologize.
And it features four of my favorite comedy performances ever. Mike Myers as the Cat.
Oh, incredible.
Obviously.
One of his best, if not his best.
I think his best. I think Shrek is arguably...
No, I prefer this to Shrek.
What was the name of that film where he was, like, a guru?
The Love Guru.
Yes.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
We don't speak of Love Guru.
Yeah.
Of course, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Was he in?
What?
Mike Myers is in Bohemian Rhapsody.
I haven't seen
Bohemian Rhapsody.
I got halfway through it until he showed up.
He's in Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Bastards?
Yeah.
He was the general in, like, the...
Yeah.
Some American general.
He's in whatever the thing I just named. the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah,
film that I literally forgot existed there for 5 seconds. I think Mike Myers is great in this. I think Alec Baldwin as Larry.
I'm gonna be honest, this is Alec Baldwin's, like, defining role. I think I don't think anyone else could have pulled it, like, because he has that such sleazy charm.
Yeah, he's
charm,
so sleazy.
But he's so cartoony as well.
Yeah,
I love
he
it.
Is. He is basically, his character is, he's the nasty asshole boyfriend, and he's gonna send Conrad to military school. And there's a scene where he's, like, locking up his car or whatever, and he doesn't know that anyone's watching him, and he's like, I'm sending Conrad away.
Which that's before Nevin's.
Sometimes I just start singing it in my head. He steals the dog called Nevin's, and then Nevin whizzes on his taco.
And he can't believe that Nevin's whizzed on
his
taco.
I can't believe he whizzed on my taco. And his TV gets repossessed. And he's sitting on the couch, and he has this, I don't know, what did you call it? Like Velcro fucking...
Yeah, it's like a Velcro corset thing.
Corset thing that keeps his flabby stomach in. And he pulls it off and he just lets his chest hang out. And he's just the most... And he starts burping and then the TV men show
beautiful.
Up. It's brilliant. He's the most vile person. But his teeth sparkle. When he opens the door, says, did someone lose a dog? And Sally likes him. I don't know why Sally likes him. Sally finds him charming because he gives her attention. But Conrad hates him. Conrad is my third favorite performance in this film. Played by the wonderful... his name is slipping my mind. He's fantastic.
He was in every kid
he's
film
in the
2000s.
He's in the Santa Claus.
What has he been in since? I feel like I have not.
I don't know if he's been in.
Him.
If he was
so the last thing I saw him in was The Happening, the M. Night Shyamalan film, where he gets shot in the head.
I can't even remember that.
Spencer Breslin. In The Happening, he's kind of one of these nasty skater guys who's hanging out with Mark Wahlberg's family for a while, and then he tries to break into a house and he gets shot.
God, that's shit.
Spencer Breslin is very good in this, though, and the scene where he stuffs bread down his pants and throws himself down the stairs is a really sums up my spirit as a child. And then my fourth favorite performance in this film is Sean Hayes, who plays two characters. He plays Mr. Humperfloob and he plays the fish.
Ugh, see what I mean? Mr. Humperfloob?
Uh-huh.
I never once even thought of that. No
way! He plays both. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Mr. Humperfloob
is amazing.
Incredible.
Mr. Humperfloob
is a name that should not exist.
It is
painfully stupid.
What's the
sorry, I'm bringing cynicism
to this. It's 902.
It's 902. Staff meeting.
Staff meeting. No, there's a genius little cutaway there that it probably isn't even that funny, but I always find it hilarious, where it cuts to all the employees and there's a row of sinks and there's a giant plaque that says employees must wash hands constantly.
It is brilliant.
That's so funny.
It is brilliant. The whole cleanliness thing is fantastic. And he's like, we're going to your house, aren't we? What's the mother's name?
Joan.
Yeah, Joan. He's like, well, yes, Mr. Humberfloop, of course. My children will be under their best behavior. They better be this time or else you're fired. He's fantastic.
Oh, he's incredible. And also, I don't know.
Kelly Preston's great as the mother.
Yeah, no, she's good. She's not in it.
She's not in it
much,
as much, but
she
gets a good scene. She's just kind of sad and weary, and she's like, And then there's, of course, the great scene where the cat picks up a photo of her, and his tail goes erect.
I feel a lot of people talk about this film because of all the innuendos and stuff, but even when I watch it, I don't even really kind of pay attention to
exactly.
them.
They don't define the film. I think they're good. They're good, though.
They're funny,
film works as well. And Thing 1 and Thing 2 are just fabulous.
Oh yeah, they're incredible. They're just fabulous. That's the thing. There's so much weird standard. Right now in my mind, I can picture full scenes.
Yeah, exactly. I know the script off by heart.
Literally. And I don't even think it's because I've seen it so many times. I think it's just so standout. You can't confuse it with anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like David Lynch in that it's it creates its own world within seconds and then it just exists within it and it's never interrupted by anything. I don't know.
Genuinely.
It's why I find it so pleasurable when I'm if I'm feeling sad to watch it, because it's such a disruptive fantasy.
The perfect comfort movie.
Yeah, it's the perfect
comfort movie. I see it the same way as I see something like Good Burger, where I can just put it on literally anytime.
Because it exists in its own little vacuum. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
And can we talk about how endlessly quotable it is?
Absolutely. I mean, I've designed multiple... I have a sticker on my laptop from
Hat,
and it is from my favorite scene in the film. And
I
think the kitchen scene is one of the funniest scenes in any film ever.
Oh, yeah, no, same.
And it's effectively... it's like a... How do you describe it? The cat and another cat. The cat. There were two Cat in the Hats in the scene.
Three, because there's a Cat in the Hat.
There's three.
Watching
there's one
as
watching
well.
It, and then there's two of them in the scene, and they are performing a cooking show, demonstrating a machine called the Cupcakeinator, and you throw random shit into the Cupcakeinator, and then it makes cupcakes. And one of the cats has an English accent. One of them has a hyper friendly American TV presenter.
Yeah, he's like a Mr. Rogers wearing a sweater and he has comb over
and
stuff.
And he gets his. Who gets the tail chopped off?
The English one.
The English one gets his tail chopped off.
I'll end you and it'll be a bloody accident.
Yeah. And he says, you're not just wrong, you're stupid and you're ugly, just like your mom. He just called my mother ugly.
I will say, actually, my favorite part about that scene is the pure, I don't know, the surreal, weird section of it where he's putting everything into cupcake and air, and they're all laughing, audience is like, cat and hat is like clapping. And then he puts in the fire extinguisher and it goes really silent. They're all just kind of looking at each other. And like, it makes no sense, but I love little bits like that.
Oh, it's so good. Brendan, do you even remember these scenes?
I vaguely remember all of these.
These are funnier things than you remember. I think you'd enjoy
it. Watch it again.
You'd enjoy some of it, I think. You'd enjoy the kitchen scene, I think you'd find funny.
I think.
I'll show it to you after recording.
I think I'm just too cynical now to enjoy it. That's my problem.
It's a cynical film, though.
Because I don't even want to say anything because you guys just seem cynical. So
there's a scene where, like,
I don't want to ruin that happiness. You know? Yeah,
there's a scene where, like, the cat wants to hit a fat kid with a baseball bat. Like it's not it's a mean, cynical film for mean, cynical people like you. I don't understand why you'd be. It's not like some uber sincere shit. Like, oh, the Cat in the Hat. You know, it's like it's a cynical film. Anyway, the Cat in the Hat 2. So of course there is a sequel to the book.
Yes, Cat the Hat comes back. Yeah, I had the book.
So you could call the film The Cat in the Hat Comes Back. Bit of a Mary Poppins Returns job, and
I actually saw. I was reading something about it like ages ago, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's what it might be one of those like hearsay things. But apparently, Mike Myers like on the red carpet of the film announced that he thought that they'd be doing a second one and be going into production like soon enough.
This is the Wikipedia entry on it. On the day of the film's release, Mike Myers stated he expected a sequel.
No way.
He said there was no sequel. Since there was a sequel to the book, a sequel, The Cat in the Hat Comes Back, was in development just over a month before the film's release. On February 2014, Audrey Geisel, Dr. Seuss's widow, said she would not allow any further adaptations of her husband's work, and cans were cancelled. Now, this was a few months after the film came out, obviously when she saw it.
I know there's a lot of people that say, like, oh, well, if Dr. Seuss saw The Cat in the Hat, he'd hate it. I think he'd
appreciate it. I think it is contemporary, and obviously it's different to his style. Mm. But I think if Dr. Seuss was alive and working in the year 2003, I think that he would enjoy this film.
Yeah, like, it's surreal, and it's mental, and it takes his, like, his blueprint and makes it into something completely otherworldly. I think he'd enjoy it. Like, he was a man that loved, like, surreal shit.
Yeah. What else did he love? Adultery.
Adultery is not that bad, Brendan. Adultery is hardly like murder. It's Dr. Seuss's widow, Cat in the Hat. I'm trying to find the exact. I want to find a quote where she insults this film because I think that would be very funny to read out. Oh, here
is
we
this
go.
His second wife? Yes.
I don't know how many wives Dr. Seuss.
I'm pretty
had.
Sure his first.
Yes,
wife.
Yes. His first wife was Helen Palmer Geisel, and this was Audrey.
Kill herself.
Possibly.
Because he cheated on her. Unless I'm mistaken.
Well, in that case, that would be very sad.
Yes, yeah, so it would be, wouldn't it? Horribly now, sad. Adultery does seem pretty bad now, doesn't it, Lucy?
Well, see, I don't see this as a Dr. Seuss film, considering
really.
He had nothing
no,
to
no,
do with
okay,
it.
So it says, how did she react to the movie? Okay, she was unable to prevent Mike Myers from being cast as the cat once the film was greenlit. She did not like the actors Austin Powers' movies. Her thoughts were confirmed seeing, she said the character was the most recognizable symbol of her husband's work, and she has since forbidden live action adaptations. She allows computer animated ones such as The Lorax and the Horton Hears a Who.
Of course she would.
Those films are so basic. I think Horton Hears a Who has its charm.
I went
to see that in the cinema.
Same.
Twice.
Oh, no way.
Including in the I am 21 years old, and in my entire life, I've only ever watched one film in the cinema in the United States, and that film is Horton Hears a Who.
No way.
I also, for some reason, own the DVD and a digital copy. I don't ask.
Oh, yeah.
On March 15th, 2012, Universal Pictures and Illumination announced a computer animated The Cat in the Hat. On January 24th, 2018, Warner Animation announced they have picked up the rights for the animated Cat in the Hat reboot.
No way.
So that's, like, probably coming at some point.
Yeah,
that'll be crap, though.
That won't be good.
Like, imagine if they got Mike Myers.
Mike Myers do the voice, though. I'd be excited.
As much as I dislike this film, I at least appreciate it is a unique film. There is nothing quite like it.
It's not generic.
So I think that, whatever reboot comes out, it's just going to be generic process manufactured crap.
Okay. In reality, Mike Myers will definitely not be voicing the cat.
No.
They're going to pick, because the Grinch was like, Benedict Cumberbatch is the Grinch. So they're going to cast an actor who kids are familiar with, whose name they can put on the poster. Danny DeVito is the Lorax. Benedict Cumberbatch is the Grinch. Those are actors who people like 10 and 11-year-olds know about because they're very distinguishable, you know? And they've had careers in the last 10 years. So who is going to end up getting cast as the animated cat?
It'll probably be like Will Ferrell or something.
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah, probably.
No, I don't think it will be Ryan Reynolds.
So after Detective Pikachu and stuff, he's so bankable.
He's dimming. Now.
I think, though, because of Detective Pikachu,
you guys mind me spoiling a film that's out at the moment that I don't think either of you have any interest in?
What film
Which one is it?
Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Okay, listeners, Hobbs and Shaw spoiler coming up. Ryan Reynolds is in Hobbs and Shaw, and he's in it for like 15 minutes. He's got a bit of red. Kevin Hart is in it for 15 minutes as well. They both got really big cameos in it.
All
right. Because they've worked with the director before. Ryan Reynolds is in it for like 15 minutes, and he's so annoying. But anyway, he's just playing himself. But
I'm not actually a big fan of Ryan Reynolds.
I find his comedy act to be effective but tedious, in that I think it's generally based on him kind of using sort of gay comedy or using gay jokes as a kind of a bed for his thing, where I find that it's not actively offensive, but his entire bit is, I'm kind of flirting with the other men in this scene, and that's funny because the people watching the film are 14-year-old boys who think that that's hilarious.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of, he has a very similar sort of someone like Seth MacFarlane, I think, where their basic personality trait is the entire root of their comedy.
Yeah, I think so. I think Ryan Reynolds seems like he's kind of a funny person, but I think that his audience are stupid adolescent boys, and I think that he's lowering himself to their level every time he makes it. I don't like the Deadpool films, but...
Yeah, I'm not a fan, really.
Who is the cast is Cat in the Hat? Someone a bit older?
I feel like the problem with a lot of anime movies now, especially, is that they don't really cast voice actors. They cast famous celebrities.
Yes. Robin Williams in Aladdin started that trend.
But he was actually a good...
But there are amazing... But there are great examples.
Oh, yeah.
Alec Baldwin, Boss Baby. Is the most recent good example. Mike Myers in Shrek is a great example. Eddie Murphy in Shrek.
No, there are definitely good examples, but...
No, I agree with you.
It's stuff like Will Ferrell fish.
Yeah, exactly. There are more talented...
Not Will Ferrell fish, sorry. Will Smith fish.
Shark Tale.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with Shark Tale is that the fish looks like Will Smith.
I mean, I think the
shark looks like Danny. Looks like
Will
Robert De Niro.
Smith also doesn't help because...
Yeah, but Will Smith is in an animated film coming out this year called Spies in Disguise.
Oh, I don't think...
Have you guys seen the trailer for Spies in Disguise?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Okay, so we're going to play a game now. On this podcast, another podcast I listen to have done this. I'm going to show you guys the Spies in Disguise trailer, and I'm going to pause it at a certain moment, and I want you to tell me what the twist of Spies in Disguise is, okay? Okay. So just...
I already dislike it, because the idea of listening to Will Smith in animated form does not appeal to me.
Watch this. I'm going to pause it at just the right moment. I think it looks kind of like a Frozone spinoff.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, that whole thing going up there, he looks exactly like Mr. Incredible, yeah.
It's like a Frozone movie.
Who is this by? Pixar?
No, Illumination, I think. Or Blue Sky. Ice Age people. Right. From Super Spy to Super Fly. This film has a twist. Film's called Spies in Disguise. I would like you both to guess what the twist is. The twist changes the entire plot of the film. And whoever gets the closest wins prize.
He is half squirrel.
No. From Super Spy to Super Fly. The film is called, and I repeat, Spies in Disguise.
He becomes a plane!
No.
Sorry, I got too excited there.
No.
I'm thinking of one, but I think it's probably too absurd.
Give me your best.
Does he turn into some sort of fly or some sort of flying?
He becomes an angel.
Oh, Jesus!
Walter, what did you do?
No way.
Seriously.
Oh my god.
Hey lads, look at me. Look at you? I can't not look at you, Walter. I can see my butt and your face at the same time.
Spies in Disguise.
I am the show.
That's clever.
There you go. You did pretty well. Yeah, thank you.
What's my prize? You explaining the title to me? Yes.
You get a dirty tissue. Spies in Disguise is Why did I bring that up? Will Smith.
We were talking about
yeah.
characters.
Will Smith is actors. A cat in the hat.
No.
No. How about, I think they would go with a white person.
I think they would go with a white person.
They'd go with someone who, like, someone comes who's across like a... as kind of slightly unhinged or something. Or who's
McConaughey
bit...
or Sam Rockwell.
No, they're too
They're too southern.
Serious, I feel like now.
Woody
well.
Harrelson.
I feel like he's too old.
Cat in the Hat's kind of old, though.
Yeah.
Mike Myers was probably, like, 40 when this film was made. I don't know. What about, like, who do kids know and like? There's only, like, 5 actors who kids like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds.
Kids only really like Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, and, like, a couple other people. There aren't many, you know?
It would need to be someone who's, like, it couldn't be someone like The Rock or someone. It'd have to be no, someone, it, be like, it would yeah, have to yeah. be someone, like, very,
Someone with, like, a...
It'd be a big name.
Yeah.
But, they, like, but they'd blah, be blah, a bit, like, it'd be kind of, like, Kevin Hart, I think, would be similar, like, a good candidate.
I think
because
he'd be a candidate,
because
yeah.
there'd be someone, it would be someone who's kind of, like, a slightly feminine, or someone who's slightly so maybe, a bit, like, not, doesn't take
so
himself
maybe
seriously.
Josh Gad.
Oh,
I would actually.
He's the white Kevin Hart.
Yeah, that's true.
But Kevin Hart, I don't think they'll go with a black person. It just doesn't work with the character.
No, Josh Gad seems like a good. Now, I mean, I'm not massive. I don't.
Josh Gad blocks me on Twitter.
I know.
No way. Mm-hmm. Now, have you guys seen Book of Mormon?
No.
Josh Gad is incredible in Book of Mormon.
I'd say he's really good in Book of
Mormon. But, like, everything else is just.
What about, like, who was
I think Josh Gad, though, he's not a big enough star to be the main character.
And the Cat in the Hat. What about Pete Davidson?
Damn, the Cat in the Hat.
I mean, I love that. I would watch that.
Oh, Cat in the Hat.
Ed Sheeran is the Cat in the Hat.
Oh my gosh.
I'm the Cat. Justin Timberlake is Cat in the Hat.
Scarlett Johansson is
Scarlett Johansson
is Cat in the Hat.
I think they'd all be really good.
It'd be a weird, like, well, then again, they probably just sanitize it to a point where
Scarlett Johansson can be sexy Cat in the Hat.
Like
the snake in Jungle Book.
I could see Bradley Cooper being Cat in the Hat.
Bradley Cooper does great. Rocket Raccoon is a fantastic voice performance. That's one of the best, I think, one of the best famous actor plays in animated characters of the last 10 years. I think Bradley Cooper could do a good job, actually.
Yeah. Just talking about actors.
Chris Pratt is the Cat in the Hat. That rhymes.
I could
it
see
rhymes
that.
And they'd love it.
I can
Chris
see that.
Chris Pratt is the cat. You know that would be great.
Yeah,
like,
that'd be a good tagline.
I don't like Chris Pratt's voice.
What was he gonna say? Just while we're on the topic of casting, I may be mixing up with something else. But wasn't, like, Tim Allen originally supposed to be the cat?
Oh god, like with the makeup and shit.
I think so. Yeah, like
horrifying.
This is around like Shaggy Dog.
Is there a casting? Shaggy Dog came like 2 years.
I mean,
after
that would have been great. I would have loved that.
Wait, let me see. Is there?
I might be mixing up with something else.
I'll see if there's a little section here.
It was the Grinch that Tim Allen was supposed to be in.
Both. Okay. No, you're right. Tim Allen was originally planned to play the role of the cat.
Oh, yes.
The script was originally based on a story conceived by Allen, who admitted that as a child he was afraid of, as he described, the mischievous feline. Allen stated, "My dream is to give it the edge that scared me."
Oh my god. I remember him to come out like a twisted horror.
I mean, in fairness, Tim Allen has taken an enormous amount of cocaine. So I'd say his interpretation of the Cat in the Hat is very different to yours and mine.
Well, Tim Allen did a film with Conrad as well, didn't he?
It's Santa Claus films. He's Conrad.
Oh, yeah,
Conrad
yeah.
is in the second and third one, which I actually think are very good. I really like those films. However, producers did not commission a screenplay until late February 2001. This film, I must point out, is written by Alec Berg, who is a Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Wait, sorry. Tim Allen is...
Santa Claus
guy. Okay, sorry. I was thinking of...
Better known as the Shaggy Dog.
Who is the guy who...
Which is a remake of a Dean
plays
Jones
Mr.
comedy called The Shaggy D.A. from the 70s.
No way.
Who's Mr. Frankenfurter?
Who plays him?
What's that?
From Rocky Horror Show?
Oh, Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
Oh, God,
that's
no.
I think Tim Curry could make a good Cat in the Hat.
He could do...
He's too old now.
He's a very scary guy. His face is
he could do a good cat.
Yeah.
Like, if it was an animated film, so obviously he wouldn't be.
Yeah.
He probably could do a good cat. No, they wouldn't pick
He's not
him.
A big name anymore with young people. Exactly. The last animated film he did was Valiant, I think.
You know what's a great film?
Oh, that's that film with the birds, isn't it?
Clue, I haven't seen Clue. Yeah, he's... Valiant, the previous pigeon film to Spies in Disguise. Actually very similar, because it's about World War II spies that are pigeons.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
Wait,
there's
yes.
a lawsuit
is this
down.
The weird play pigeon...
No, it's CGI, but it's like Ewan McGregor and Ricky Gervais voice the pigeons.
Oh my god.
Set during World War II, they're carrier pigeons.
Yes.
It's quite similar to Spies in Disguise. It's World War II. But yeah, the writers of Cat in the Hat are like Alec Berg and Dave Mandel, who... Dave Mandel is the creator of... Dave Mandel is the creator of fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm.
No way.
Like, these guys are like Larry David guys, and they're writing the Cat in the Hat. I love that, and that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's great.
But, what was I saying? So... the film would not be ready to shoot. Allen had to do Santa Claus 2, so he dropped out of the role. It was given to Mike Myers, and he was a long time found in the book. There you go. Mm. So the director of this film is Beau Welch, who was Tim Burton's production designer for Beetlejuice and Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, no way.
And he's a great, like, great artist. He has never directed a film since. This is his only film.
Oh, no.
However, he was director of, like, 10 or 12 episodes of Netflix's A Series of Unfortunate Events, a show which I have very mixed feelings on, but he did a very good job, and that show was very visually distinctive and had very cool sets. It was made for no money, and it had very cool sets. And Beau Welch did a really good job on that. So I am glad he's getting work, and I hope... I think he got an Emmy nomination for production design for that show, so hopefully he gets more roles.
Yeah.
More jobs out of that. Beau Welch, yup the Beau. Little Beau Welch. He does a commentary on the DVD of Cat in the Hat, and I grew fond of him as a child. I like how he talks about the film, and he's very honest about it. Yeah, he's a funny guy, so... Any other sequel ideas if Mike Myers were to come back? Larry's kind of covered in goo at the end, so...
Yeah.
We don't really need more Larry.
I mean, if I remember correctly, in the book, The Cat in the Hat comes back, it's about snow. They get, like, snowed in, and him and... Have you guys read the sequel book?
No, since I was very young.
The second book, I'm pretty sure, is they get snowed in, and the cat comes with Thingamone, Thing 2, and they're shoveling away the snow, and then snow antics occur.
Okay, so it would have a different visual look if it was set in winter.
Yeah.
I think
would be beautiful.
You could have a twist where Alec Baldwin is now, like, the mayor of the town or something, and is a powerful individual. Like Mr. Humberflube kind of role, and he's now got like some influence, and he's like bans cats or something. And
oh yeah, that'd be great.
We get a courtroom drama.
How would we get his character to rise? Because obviously he's like zero at the end of the film. Yeah. So what would his story be? Because I like the idea of him being empowered.
He would have had to fake some sort of heroic act or something, you know, to get people's trust and respect. I'm not sure.
What way could he go?
Canine American?
I was about to bring up that scene earlier. That is my favorite scene.
Get away from me, you hippie freak.
I just need you to hold this this extremely large pen that requires two hands. Yeah. And it says that on the pen. That's hilarious. It's like, I don't like the word dog. I prefer the term canine American. That's so funny.
That is great. I mean, you can tell the person who wrote that came from Seinfeld. Like, that is very obvious.
That's honestly, like, actually, just speaking of that scene, last time I was watching it, I kind of realized the similarities to, like, obviously not in a way that, like, it was taken or stolen, but the cat and, like, the genie from Aladdin are very similar.
They do play similar roles,
And even, like, the story is kind of, like,
causing,
you know,
mayhem.
Yeah, the protagonist gets involved in some weird kind of magic sort of stuff, and they get this sidekick who is, like, kind of supernatural, and
he's, like, constantly saying, like, weird random shit.
Yeah, and he's kind of, like, getting in disguises and making references and stuff.
Yes,
but I watched the original Aladdin a while ago, for the first time since I was quite young, and I genuinely believe, this might be a hot take, I don't know, I genuinely believe Mike Myers as the Cat in the Hat is better than...
I have no relationship with Aladdin.
Me neither, disagree
really. I don't care about Aladdin, and I'm also like, I think Robin Williams is a great dramatic actor. I find Robin Williams' comedic persona to be very tiresome.
Yeah, I mean, so Genie,
I much prefer Mike Myers.
I think
comedian.
Genie is his best comedic performance in many ways because the animation lends itself to his comedic style.
I just think the Genie automatically made itself very dated because most of the comedy from the Genie is pop culture reference.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Whereas
Cat in the Hat
has
none of that, really.
Have
yeah,
culture reference.
I mean,
he just makes
the fact
fun of
is
stereotypes.
The Canine American joke has become more topical.
Yeah,
and a lot of
if anything, you know, yeah,
like a lot of it is actually dated really well.
Or even like, and like a lot of the characters he assumes in the movie are like stereotypes that will always be around, the real angry British chef, real nerdy meek TV host, bumbling mechanic from the down south. I genuinely think, and I think he's more interesting to watch. Like
if you were to argue that something has aged poorly in this film, it's probably Mrs. Kwan.
Yes,
who is
probably
like
quite
comically racist and comically overweight, and is used for.
She's Taiwanese.
That's brilliant. No more big government. She's brilliant. Like Amy, what's her name? Amy Hill or something? Amy something. She's in a couple. I think Amy Hill's her name. She's in a couple of films. She's fucking hilarious. But that character is a bit like you wouldn't probably find that in 2019 in the film. Mrs. Kwan's a bit racist and like she has played like an Asian woman. But She's very talented. And
I mean,
her.
She does spend most of the film on a
being
on
like
a hook
whacked
in
around.
The,
yeah, exactly.
Or
being,
yeah, she's the boat that they use.
Yeah, she's the boat. This is a a body horror film. It's like Cronenberg. It's great.
And there's so much like weird things that I'd say if you did show to a kid, they would be like, I obviously got to find them. Like the bit where he cuts his own tail off and he holds up end. Like that.
I cannot wait.
Scarring.
I can't wait to show this film to my kids or someone else's kids. I don't care who.
That's the thing. Like the film genuinely has.
I'm showing this to my nieces and nephews. It's the first chance I get. My cousins.
Or even when they do the options to get like Nevin's back and the cat is like, there's a third option. It involves murder.
I also love when he pulls out the contract and they go, what's that, a contract? Something magical and full of wonder. Like, are those your lawyers?
No, they're magical
time-traveling elves.
Or then after the TV scene where it's like, look, I'm not saying we're going to sue. I'm just saying we have a case. I love describing scenes in this film because it sounds
someone who hasn't seen it in a long time.
Yes, I am constantly baffled by what you're talking about. I'm like, what? I don't remember these things at all.
But I think it suits, like, it doesn't feel out of place when it and this weird, like, this happens. Because the whole film, even the real normal parts are so odd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, it's just not in the real world at all.
Not at all.
Time for the box office game.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys...
Oh, yeah!
I'm so excited!
When you think about it, the Cat in the Hat forms, like, a huge part of my vocabulary. I definitely quote it, like, twice a day.
Oh, yeah. Like,
unknowingly.
I literally have probably picked up a lot of mannerisms from, like, different characters the Cat in the Hat
plays. This film opened with $38 million, which is... not bad. And it totally grossed 133.9 worldwide.
No way. I'd what was its budget?
110. Oh, so not a big hit. Yeah. Just about, like, no, not even broke even. Like, that's disappointing. Opening weekend, though, it was number one at the box office with $38 million as a new entry. This was November 21st, 2003. So number two is also a new entry. Number two is like a, I don't know, it's like a psychological thriller horror with Halle Berry and Robert Downey Jr. It's got a weird name. It's got like a funky title. The title is kind of edgy and twisted.
Halle Berry and Robert Downey Jr.
You wouldn't know that he's in it though. He's like the boyfriend. He wasn't the star at the time. So.
Okay.
It's a Halle Berry.
Like, is it
vehicle.
Still big at all? Like, if you said it to somebody, would they know it? Okay.
The name is distinctive, but I'll just tell you, it's called Gothica.
Gothica.
100% never heard of
it. The name always frightened me as a child.
See, this is 2003, so I was quite young, so I
know.
Definitely...
I only know these from, like, The Shelf and Extravision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number three is a classic masterpiece. Wonderful film. Wonderful. It's a Christmas film. Like, one of the greats of the last 20 years.
Santa Claus.
Better. Like, beloved by all.
Santa Claus 2.
Beloved
Polar
by
Express?
All.
A Christmas film.
No, this is like... Yeah, no, like Polar Express is like a controversial one. This is what everyone loves this. This is like... Most people love this.
The Grinch.
No. No one loves The Grinch. This is like...
Well,
what?
I love The Grinch.
You love The Grinch. Yeah. This is like... No, everyone loves this. This is like the Christmas film that everyone loves. This is like the last Christmas film that everyone thinks is great. It's like you're gonna kick yourselves.
Yeah, no.
Home Alone?
You've mentioned the star a few times this episode.
Oh, no way. Me, personally...
Both of you. You. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm gonna be so
big
upset.
Comedy actor, one word title. The title is what he is.
The Grinch. I don't understand.
Motion picture is Jon Favreau's film Elf.
Oh yeah, 2003.
Number four is a Russell Crowe ship adventure. High seas adventure.
I don't think I've ever seen a single Russell Crowe film that I found out the other day. I actually don't think
I've ever seen it.
No.
Seen Gladiator?
Nope.
The Insider?
Nope.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I swear, I was going through
He's
random...
He's a bad actor. He doesn't make good films.
I was going through random, like, big actors like, aren't necessarily known for being good actors, but just that,
Russell
like,
Crowe's,
they're famous.
No, Russell Crowe
I don't think I've ever seen a Tom Cruise film either. Ever.
What?
I don't think I've... I haven't seen any of the Mission Possible.
What?
I know, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait.
Tom Cruise is fantastic.
I vaguely remember watching a scene of Eyes Wide Shut when I was really young.
You haven't seen, like, Magnolia? Oh, my God.
Haven't seen Rain Man. Haven't seen Hot Shots.
Rain Man's terrible. Hot Shots. You mean Top Gun?
Oh, Top Gun. Sorry,
I
think I get them mixed
Tom
up.
Tom Cruise. You must have. Oh, you no.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a Tom Cruise or Russell Crowe. There was more. I was
Russell
going
Crowe
to.
Sucks, but Tom Cruise is in some great stuff. You Tropic Thunder.
Oh yes.
Wait,
no,
Tom
I
Cruise
I forgot
is
he
in
was...
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, he's Les Grossman. I forgot about that because he's so.
Oh my God.
You wouldn't even know it's him.
Oh
yeah.
Tom Cruise has made some amazing films, so you should do some catching up.
Yeah, no.
Edge of Tomorrow, you'd really like.
I was just. Yeah, no, I need to add all these to my watch list.
Edge of Tomorrow, you'd really like. It's really good. Really good sci-fi. Okay, number...
Wait, what was the film?
Oh, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, no.
People, that has a big fan base. Like, a lot of people love that film. I don't know why. Number 5 is another Christmas film. This is a more like controversial one. This is one that a lot of people hate.
Christmas with the Cranks.
No, Polar Express. It's famous. A lot of people love it. No, it's Polar Express.
Polar Express is like 2006 or 7.
4.
Frosty the Snowman.
No, it's like, it's very famous. Most people have seen it. A lot of people love it. A lot of people hate it. It's very British.
British, oh, Love Actually.
Correct.
I've never seen Love Actually.
My mother despises that film.
A lot of people despise it. Yeah. I haven't seen it. Number 6 is the third film in a trilogy, a sci-fi trilogy. The first one is great and everyone loves it. The sequels are not so good.
Is it Aliens 3?
No. It is...
It is the first...
This is the third...
The third?
...of three, and no one likes this
And they're film. Sci-fi, and they're not Star Wars.
They're sci-fi, but they're like... cool action sci-fi. They're very cool.
Matrix
Revolution.
Yes.
Ah, unreal.
Number 7. This is a good box office.
Ooh, I'm feeling good on the roll.
Number 7 is a Disney 2D animation. I went to see this with my primary school class for our Christmas outing. It has not aged well. At all. It's really bad.
See, the 2000s were a time where like Disney 2D animations were just being swept under the rug, like Atlantis and Treasure Planet.
This was just after that. This is very mediocre. It's
not Atlantis or Treasure Planet.
No. It's a bit later. It's animal based. It's not.
Is it rats?
No, it's not Home on the Range.
Oh.
It's before Home on the Range. It's very, very boring. The title is.
I love this game, but I'm so bad at it. This Every time you played it with me, I've never gotten one right.
The film is called Brother Bear.
Oh! You should have gave more hints.
Why did...
I've seen both Brother Bears, I'm pretty sure.
Why did the second one didn't come out in the cinema. The second one's straight to DVD.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Why did the character in Brother Bear ask the other bear to take off his clothes? Because he wanted to see his Brother Bear.
Ew, I despise
I sent that joke into Disney Magazine, and they didn't print it. They sent me a nice letter saying, sorry, but we don't have room for your jokes. Number 8 is an absolute fucking classic. Been covered on this podcast. I mean, that's not like a universal classic. It's a Lucien classic.
Okay.
I adore this film. We've done it on this podcast before. It's brilliant. It's a live-action animation hybrid starring a great comedy actor who... may have the same name as one of you guys.
Oh, Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Looney Tunes Back in Action is the correct answer. Brendan Fraser.
Oh my, is this... No.
We did Brendan Fraser last time, Brendan.
Yeah, sorry. I was just like, which Looney Tunes film was this? It's not the Space Jam one.
No, this is the good one.
Well, excuse me. Hold on. Space Jam is great.
It's sports and it's stupid.
I probably should like Back in Action more, but I actually much prefer Space Jam. Personally.
I don't think I've seen Back in Action in years. I do remember liking
Back
it though,
is,
so I would like
extraordinary.
To see it. And I do like Brendan
Steve
Fraser.
Martin wears like fucking shorts.
Steve Martin's in it.
He wears like a blazer and shorts, and he has a ridiculous haircut.
Where is Steve Martin
he's, like,
now?
He's so stiff.
Steve Martin is a touring banjo player.
You know, he's a country artist and toured the world. He's actually so happy. Yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen any modern interviews with him,
he's very wealthy though. He got involved in some like art. Case he was like buying art from an illegal dealer last year like he wasn't committing any crimes he got pranked basically like or he got not pranked he got he got what's the word
frauded
yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, number yeah the rest of some of these are stupid. Scary Movie 3 is in here. Radio is in here, which Shane really likes. Radio is a movie about like I'm gonna tell you the plot of Radio.
Is it like it sounds like a teen horror?
Okay, this is the plot of Radio. In a racially divided town, Coach Jones spots a mentally disabled African-American student named Radio and is inspired to befriend him. Soon, Radio is Jones' loyal assistant, and Principal Daniels happily notes that Radio's self-confidence is skyrocketing, but things start to sour when Jones begins taking guff from fans that feel that his devotion to Radio is getting in the way of the team's quest for a championship.
It was like the Blind Side before the Blind Side.
Yeah, but Cuba Gooding Jr. plays a...
His name is Radio.
A mentally disabled boy called Radio. Number 10 at the box office that week. Got Mystic River in there, School of Rock.
Oh, School of Rock.
Kill Bill Volume 1, Lost in Translation, Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, which is in its 20th weekend.
I'm sorry, wait, what? Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl came out in 2003.
Came out in June 2003, and it's still in the box office in November, at number 19.
I could have sworn those films came out later in
2000s. Those films came out 03, 06, 07, 11, and 17.
What? Yeah.
And then we got 21 Grams opened and limited at 22. We got, I don't know what any of these are. Seabiscuit. We got,
Seabiscuit.
Finding Nemo is still there at number 40.
All right.
And we got Freaky Friday.
Oh.
Classic. Spy Kids 3D.
Oh, the best, one of the best children's films ever made.
I haven't seen it.
No way. No,
I've only seen the first and the fourth. Fourth one's good.
The fourth one's grand. I like when have you seen any of them or just the fourth one?
Fourth and the first.
Okay, so like when Junie comes back, it's like a big but spoiler alert, sorry. But no, like I grew up with the Spy Kids movies and I love them to bits. But I was at a party recently and someone brought up Spy
Humble
Kids.
Rag.
What?
Humble
Oh, yeah, well.
Right,
party. I was at a party. There's a couple of people that I didn't really know at my girlfriend's house, so I mean, call it a party.
Oh, Humble Brag, girlfriend.
What was I talking about? Yeah, with someone mentioned Spy Kids, and I was like, oh, yeah, like the third one's obviously the best. And everyone was like, no, the third one's like awful. And everyone ranked them, and they ranked them literally like 2-1, and then like a power gap, and then 3. And I was like,
what?
That is literally the opposite ranking. Like,
yeah,
2
yeah,
is the
yeah.
fucking worst.
Yeah,
3
yeah.
is on.
Which one is Stallone in? 2.
Stallone is in 3.
Oh, okay.
George Clooney's in
Danny
like, all
Trejo's
three.
In all of them, right?
Danny Trejo is in. I don't think he's in the second one. But that's actually pretty funny that Spy Kids and Machete are in the same
yeah,
universe.
Yeah, exactly.
But who else?
Danny Trejo also voicing Boots in Dora and the Lost City of Gold in Cinemas Friday.
I cannot
oh my God,
absolutely
I
wait to see that. I want
oh,
to see
go
that
see
film.
With me. Come
yes.
see with me. I'm going to see it because Benicio voices Swiper the Fox.
No way. I actually do want to see it. Like,
Swiper.
I saw the trailer when I was going to see Spider-Man Far Away From Home, and I was like, I hate how much I genuinely adore the idea of this.
Did you read the review in the Hollywood Reporter where the journalist commented on how he thought Dora wasn't sexualized enough for an 18-year-old actress?
Oh my God.
Ew, why?
It's the most disgusting thing you've ever read. This guy is like, well, I thought the film was good, but I didn't appreciate how the young girl and young boy had no sexual chemistry between them. These kids are 18. There should be more... I mean, it was actually like, he's such a fucking perv. Anyway.
The film trailer reminded me of that College Humor skit, though, that did years ago with, like, Ariel Winter, Dora the Explorer live action. Like,
oh, really? Okay.
It was
yeah,
really
actually,
like, oh, this is just...
It's produced by Michael Bay, but it's directed by James Bobin, a director I'm very fond of, because he did the two Muppets movies with Jason Segel and Tina Fey, and those, which I love.
Yeah,
he
I love the first Muppets movie, I think, is
those
incredible.
Films are amazing. He directed both of those, and then he directed Alice Through the Looking Glass, which is vile. And then he did this.
Talking about Spy Kids, you know the boy in it, what's the, is it Junie? The
Junie,
boy? Yeah. He is actually married now to Meghan Trainor.
Wow.
Somebody told me that one.
Isn't that
that's
so
mental.
Weird.
That is really weird.
Yeah, that's crazy. Spy Kids Power. If you ever want to do like a Spy Kids marathon, I will happily watch them all with you.
I might.
Because they're masterpieces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we ended up watching Shark Boy and Lava Girl that night,
yes.
Which I had a really funny moment.
And that segues into. Oh yeah, tell me about your funny moment.
Well, hold on. What was the segue first? In case
no, you don't know.
Okay, my funny moment was we were watching it, and then during the credits. Or we were watching it on Netflix, and you know the way as soon as the first name comes up in the credits,
yeah.
the screen
yeah, yeah.
is shrunk to a tiny box,
yeah, yeah.
and it's like, oh, an ad for like this cool
yeah,
Netflix
yeah.
original. So, but in the second title credit of the credits, I was saying I saw an Easter egg and I want to go back.
Uh-huh.
So I spent 20 minutes trying to get this single frame because every time I went to that point in the film, it would cut out and
right,
I'd have to
okay,
restart
yeah,
the film
yeah,
again.
Yeah.
So we had 20 minutes, and everyone was like, Rob, just leave it. And I'm like, no, there's an Easter egg.
Yeah.
So I finally got to pause.
Uh-huh.
After everything, I was just looking at the screen. It said executive producer. I was just like, "There's the Easter egg, Harvey Weinstein."
That's a good Easter egg.
It's a good Easter egg. And the A in Harvey was a shark, like Shark
Boy.
Okay.
So, Where's the Damn Sequel has now got new merchandise available.
Oh, no.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl merchandise.
No way.
And it is Shark Boy and Lava Girl. There is power in the union.
Oh my God.
I want that.
Custom
That's
designed
great.
By me. We have a whole range of merch. You can get stickers for your laptop and say there's power of the union.
I feel like that.
You get jumpers,
is...
you get all sorts. They're all on sale right now. T-shirts from $14 and stickers from $2 each.
That actually, I want that. Like, that looks really good. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a friend of Lucy. Like, that is something I would purchase.
Go to tpublic.com and search Where's the Damn Sequel and you'll find it. There's also links on our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. It's in our Instagram bio, so you can get all your Sharkboy and Lava Girl merch. It's a cool design with Sharkboy and Lava Girl with an
really cool
orange thing. Gradient, and I think it avoids copyright because I've altered the image enough, so we shouldn't be stepping on anyone's toes. Harvey Weinstein won't be making any money off of this, I promise you. And yeah, I think there is power in the union, inspired by our friend and co-host Kian Hayes. So I think it's a good.
Yeah.
I think it's good. It's good merch. You can get all your other Where's the Damn Sequel merch as well. We're gonna have one of Brendan's face on the Cat in the Hat. Please. Or something. That'd be great. It looks like Cats.
Just a quote of him like passing the movie underneath.
Oh, we should get
Cats
it.
Cats had so many Cat in the Hat memes on Twitter when the Cats trailer came out because it's the closest there's been.
Yeah.
You look like someone who hasn't seen the Cats trailer.
No, I have. You and have? Okay. See, me and my girlfriend are big into musicals, and the first musical we like really fell in love with like years ago when we were in like TY was Cats.
Really?
And I
people
we
actually
went to
like
see
Cats.
It. Right, I love Cats. I watched the 1998 filmed version because there is a movie of it, but it's the last Cat, the only other Cats movie. Yeah. But it's literally like the stage and it's being filmed.
Okay, cool.
And it's unbelievable. Now, the thing with Cats is it's kind of a love it or hate it thing. There's no real plot. There's a kind of sort of plot, but it's basically just a bunch of characters
just
introducing
silly and
themselves.
Goofy and
yeah. But it's so lighthearted and it's so much fun and the songs fucking slap. It's great. So we were very upset when the trailer came out. I've seen it 15 times.
I love it. I think it's really good.
I love it.
I think it's good and I think it's got Cat in the Hat energy. I think it's got that same like weird fucking face thing that I like from Cat in the Hat.
See, no, it doesn't though because it's not like, cynical. It's so sincere and earnest and it's beautiful and I cannot wait to see it.
I'm disgusted.
We will obviously be recording a podcast.
Jason Derulo Cat. Like Jason Derulo Cat.
I know. I'm actually like disgusted by this
movie. I'm excited.
Like
to see
I will hate watch it illegally after it comes to DVD.
No, I'm going to see it the day it comes out. Yeah. And you know what? It's going to be out the same day as Star Wars, and I'm going to go to see it first.
Oh my, 100%. I'm going to treat that.
Do a double
like,
bill of.
I will, but it's no question which one I want to see more.
Yeah.
Like I fucking don't care about Rey and Kylo Ren. I care about Rum Tum Tugger and Rubbity Dubbity Cat.
Please watch the 1998 version before you watch the new one, because the 1998 film version is actually like genuinely unreal.
There's also a really really good episode about Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt where Titus Burgess' character kind of sneaks into the cast of Cats.
Oh no! Yeah.
And they just like have all these ridiculous sequences of like fake songs from Cats, and it's very very good. You should look at it. Even if you don't watch that show, just watch that one episode because it's hilarious. It's really really funny. That's it. That's the Cat in the Hat.
Oh yeah! What a fantastic film! It gets a big thumbs up from me.
Big thumbs up from Where's the Damn Sequel, including Brendan. I'm gonna make him watch the kitchen scene as soon as we stop the recording.
And the Canine American scene.
Exactly. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having us. I mean, if you ever any more
surreal
stoner kids films, I'll be happy to oblige.
I'll have you both back on very soon. And you can check out all our other episodes on where you find the podcast.
And maybe check out Click.
Check out our Click episode with Brendan, our Mad Max Fury Road episode with Joe, and our Hobbs and Shaw emergency episode recorded in Chili Shack with Shane and Gemma. It's all good stuff. All right, thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Bye.